Hey, it's a local spotlight show here at WJBM Studios in Jerseyville, Illinois. Chris Lorton, I'm your host today, and had with me the second episode of The Business Life of Ted Prane. It's back on, ladies and gentlemen, and we're picking it back up. We're getting to the point where Ted comes to Jerseyville, or Jersey County,
To Jersey County, yes.
Yeah, Ted comes to Jersey County. When did you first start doing some business in Jersey County, Jerseyville?
Well,
commercial business?
Yeah, back in the 90s, I did the Burger King in front of the Walmart, worked with the Waldschmidt Development, who developed that Walmart Center now. And I developed that for a client of mine. I had a Burger King client, actually developed.
So when you say you developed it, so you had a set of plans and you got all the contractors in and lined them up and took care of the whole project.
Yes, in most cases. The one here in Jerseyville, actually, the franchisee did more of that work. The one I did for him, the same franchisee, I did in Edwardsville. I did an Edwardsville store. He also owned the Bethalto store, did Jerseyville, and he had six or seven. Troy, Illinois, I did that one for him.
Okay.
But I only owned the one in Edwardsville. I did not own the one here. But I helped him get the site and develop the site. And that was primarily what we did. So what I sold real estate for others and leased real estate, leased properties. But then I was able over the years to acquire properties like the Burger King. And I would develop them with the tenant and finance them, and the tenant would naturally pay the mortgage. That was the advantage of the transaction, is that you'd end up owning it eventually once the,
you know, with commercial and residential properties. I mean, residentials are easier to rent and easier to sell.
Correct.
Commercials, a little harder to get a lease or a rentor, but when they do get in there, they usually stay longer.
Usually a longer term.
And usually maybe better terms.
Correct.
Commercially.
Yeah.
You know, because you get established, you don't want
better return on investment.
Yeah.
And less day-to-day headaches. Once I develop a property, they would be there for years, and I would seldom even see or have a problem. If they have a water heater go out, they call the plumber and fix the water heater, because they were typically individual self-sustained buildings. So the tenant would take care of all aspects of that building. Unless the roof leaked or something structural happened, then they would call me in.
Okay.
But the majority of the mechanical and everything else is done by the tenant.
Yeah,
which is the biggest benefit of the difference in ownership of residential versus commercial.
Yeah, yeah, but the bad side of it is getting it rented. You know,
it is.
You know, I mean, and if it's a hot area, fine. But sometimes it's tough.
Most of my transactions weren't speculative. I had a tenant that had a need, and I would develop what they needed and then lease it back to them over a period of time, 15, 20, 30 years. And so that's a little different than just speculating and building a facility and speculating that somebody will take it. So there wasn't a whole lot after the 80s. There wasn't a whole lot of spec buildings being done. Most everything had a user or had an income stream before they even broke ground, had mm-hmm. somebody that was willing to pay rent for part of the property, if not all of it.
Well, at what point in time did you start moving toward Jerseyville, and why did you want to come this way, Jerseyville, versus getting out of Bethalto? You've been in Bethalto forever.
Well, I had.
And you want to move this way. Why?
Well, professional life, there because with the Walmart and the activity that was going on in the commercial side of the business with Jerseyville, there was some opportunity there.
Because it was kind of springing up.
Well, it was new. There was some new development going on, and so that attracted me from a business point of view. I owned a piece of property, bought a piece of property down at Crystal Lake and 67 years ago, in Butch Whitman's office, and I think the guys in Jerseyville, I ended up paying $10,000 an acre for it, and it was a piece of farm ground, but I saw the potential of the commercial aspect of it. And they thought I was crazy buying $10,000 an acre ground back in whenever that was. Yes. And but there's opportunities, and you can see now Nobe's there and MTS is there.
Oh yeah.
The new school, I mean the new road is going to come right through there. There's going to be a new interchange eventually one of these days when we get 255. But so there are things like that I was involved
attracted
to. Yeah, years ago.
Yeah.
From a business standpoint. But the unique thing about Jerseyville, and it goes back a few years, is when my son, my oldest boy, was Andy. He was he's the proprietor of Georgia's
yes.
now, and he was a tremendous athlete, a three-sport athlete: baseball, football, basketball, and baseball. And one night he said to me, "Dad, I want to move to Jerseyville." This was when he was in high school.
Really?
Underclassmen in high school. He said, they're just much better with their athletes in Jerseyville. They really appreciate their athletes in Jerseyville. And that was a comment from a, you know, 15, 16-year-old who right. observed Jerseyville and the community around their athletic department in Jerseyville. And, you know, that was his perspective.
Uh-huh.
But then in 2010... Julie and I, we'd been looking for a farm on and off for some time, and I probably was more than Julie was, naturally. So we were going to buy a farm for the boys and I to hunt on and to have recreation,
okay.
and that's what got us to Jerseyville.
Not necessarily grain and cattle farming.
No.
Just a farm to hunt on.
Well, I had
kind of mess around.
I was a commercial real estate guy,
yeah.
and I was tried and true. I was there. That's what I was going to do. Well, we bought this farm in 2010. It was the Beaches farm out west of town between here and Fielden. And Dave Beach, after we bought the farm, he came to me and said, "Hey, he sold all his cattle. He said, I've got rights to buy 15 heifers back. They're in North Dakota. If you're interested, we'll get them and we'll just run cattle." He still owned the west side of the creek and I owned the east side of the creek. We'll just partner up and buy these cattle. So I said, "Yeah, I'm in."
And one thing that people don't realize, you had some history with cattle,
did.
Right?
I did.
When you
but
were
not
a kid.
Not very many people knew that. And I did. And I suppressed that desire. And I really didn't think I'd ever be a farmer because you got to inherit a farm to be a farmer.
Right.
And or you got to have a family member something. And so I was a kid, I worked for Homer Hinkey outside of Bethalto. And I would ride my bike out in the morning and feed the cattle. We were on split shift in Bethalto back then. So underclassmen went in the afternoon, and the juniors and seniors went to high school in the morning. So I had the mornings off when I was a freshman. And I'd ride my bike out to Homer's. I'd feed the cattle, and I'd come in and go to band and go to class the rest of the afternoon. And then I went with Homer with the cattle herd to the fair circuit. I went around the fair circuit with them, too. So I got a real interest in the cattle.
Okay.
I loved the cows and handling them and being with them. But I don't know that my wife even knew. Now, she knew whenever we drove through the country, I'd look at the corn and the beans and the cows, and I'd admire this. And she knew that there was something there, but she had no idea that I really wanted to be a farmer when I grew up. You know, that's
okay.
really what I wanted to do. So when we bought the farm and I had this opportunity— And Beach opened this opportunity. I said, yeah, I'm in. I've always wanted to have a cow-calf operation. So we partnered up on the cows and got those heifers, bought a bull, bought working facilities, and then we worked those cows a couple years together. In 2012, I ended up deciding that I was retiring from the commercial real estate, the day-to-day commercial real estate. We sold our office and everything in Alton. And a number of properties down there, and I started mainly raising the cattle on my own.
And
at that
so,
stage.
For people, listeners, you started doing the 1031 exchange.
I did.
Yes.
The 1031 exchange is an extremely unique privilege that we in the commercial real estate business or the income producing real estate business have.
Yeah, go ahead and explain that for everybody.
It's a unique thing. Well. The 1031 exchange is a tax code that allows you to sell your real estate and take the gain that we've depreciated this asset over years, however long we've owned it.
Right.
And so it allows us to take that entire investment and reinvest it in another commercial asset, another cash-producing asset.
And not have to pay any capital gains tax.
And not have to pay any tax on that revenue. Yeah. Yeah. So, which
otherwise, they
want
25%.
Exactly.
Right? You know,
yeah.
I mean, why give them 25% when I've always wanted a cattle farm?
Yeah, if you don't have to, you always wanted a cattle farm. So that worked out. So we started dissolving of some of our assets down below and reinvesting them in agricultural ground up here. And so I became a farmer.
Yeah. Hey, if you're just joining us, I've got a farmer with me, Ted Prane. You still are in real estate.
Yeah, I still am.
We became a cattle farmer and also Fritz Meat and Processing. So you got the farm but you hadn't moved here yet.
No, in 2012, we ended up buying Dave out of the rest of the cattle. He wanted to move to Texas, and so I bought him out of the partnership, and so now the cows and everything were mine. And I hadn't yet acquired the rest of the farm. I finally ended up buying that, I think, in 2014, where we bought the rest of the farm, the west side of the creek.
But you were always selling something over here. And then buying
rolling
something
over it here. Into something else. So yeah. I bought the first one of the bigger farms I bought was Porter Stevens Farm up at where Phil's Creek and Macoupin Creek come together in Kane, north and east of Kane, and that was a big farm. But so the main farm and on the way to Fieldon, in between here and Fieldon, is mainly a cattle farm because of the terrain.
Mm-hmm.
It has some tillable on it, but it's mainly set up with pastures, and it's good for the cattle because it's so rough. But the Kane farm I bought for production. So we sold a piece of property. I believe at that time it was actually the Burger King in Edwardsville. I think I sold that and was able to buy the Kane farm, the Stevens farm. And then after that, then we bought the rest of Beach's farm out. So we've got 640 acres contiguous there at our main farm where the cattle are, where we live.
And when did you move there?
I sort of hung out there quite a bit because we built a cabin there really for the boys and I to hunt, to play and have a good time in,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
And a little one-bedroom cabin. It's got a stone fireplace. It's just cool, and it's perfect. One bedroom, that's all a couple needs, especially empty nesters like us.
Yeah, that's
and
all
so
you need.
I convinced my wife to move out of her 4,500 square foot house in Bethalto in a subdivision in town with all the modern conveniences.
Green Acres is the place.
And I moved her to the country. That's exactly right. Yep. And she came
farm
kicking
living
and
is the life for
she
me.
She came kicking and screaming. But so in 2014 we finally moved out of Bethalto and moved to the farm. And I still owe her a house. I told her if she'd move with me, I'd build her house someday.
You so will.
I will.
Someday.
I'm going to build her
You're
house.
You're going to do it.
I have the plan. We have the plans. John Shortle's fixed us up a nice set of plans. So now I just need to pull the plug and get it built. So.
Okay. So at what point are we getting to you? You bought the commercial strip mall at Pointer.
Yeah,
Eric
right.
Pointer has.
Uh-huh.
You sold something. You bought that.
Yep.
And kind of developing that.
Yep.
And
yes.
Then.
Well, we bought that. So Adam and I, in 2020, when I went from 30 days out to get a steer processed to 13 months out, there was a problem.
Yeah.
Because we had no processors here in town. And I was using Cordy. I used Pleasters in Calhoun until they closed.
They closed up.
And
yeah.
Then I went down to Cordy, and Cordy was doing all of my processing. So when I bought the cattle farm, my goal or intent was to make meat for the plate. My goal is to have good beef. So, it's a commercial herd. It's not a registered herd. My goal was to have good steaks and good quality beef. And so that's what my business plan was, is to sell beef to people who wanted to buy halves and quarters.
Mm-hmm.
And when I couldn't get processed.
You said, I got to do my own processing.
Got to do something else. Yeah, and Adam had done all the due diligence and was looking at that Pointer property as a property to develop a new processing plant.
Okay.
And So that was one of the reasons we acquired that, was so we could build the processing plant. Well, while we were doing that, Ryan asked Hansen, called and said, you know, we're ready to sell. I'm ready to sell. Why don't you just buy us instead of us competing with one another? And so Adam and I put our heads together and decided that that made good business sense. We questioned or scratched our head a little bit because of the age of the facility. A brand new facility is so much nicer than working through the an older facility. But it had everything we needed to have to start processing beef and
also
hogs.
You eliminate future competition.
Yeah,
if somebody would buy that and start developing it,
right?
You know, so go ahead and which was a good move. And so you've been operating that for 3 years now?
Well, we bought it 2 years ago, actually.
2 years ago.
It will be 2 years in October when we took over possession. We took over possession October the 12th, and we cleaned up for a day, and on the 14th, we started accepting deer. And Hansen hadn't processed deer up to that point. They did years ago, but it had been a number of years. And Hansen stopped doing an actual kill at this facility in 2018. So it had been a few years, so there was a number of things that we had to get done.
Get up to speed.
Yeah, before we could start killing. So we bought it in October. We did deer season, and that got us started through the processing of live animals. Naturally, they're not live when they show up with us, but
right.
It got worked a lot of the bugs out. And then we, in May of the following year, we started processing our own animals at the plant. And we've been doing it ever since. Actually, today was a processing day.
Yes.
So I was there.
So have you learned much in the processing part?
A lot. Tons. Just
Have you enjoyed it?
Every day. Yeah, very much so. The history in the processing side of the business, from my perspective, when I was a kid, when I was 12 or so, my grandpa was a USDA beef grader. So he would go around to processing plant, and he'd inspect their facility.
So this was the other grandpa.
This was my other grandpa, not the real estate grandpa, but the other side, my mom's side.
Yeah.
My mom's dad. And so I would go stay with them in the summer for a week, and I would go with him to all these processing plants, and they'd take me out on the kill floor, and I'd get to knock these cows in the head and all this. I mean, they wouldn't do that today. But back then in the 70s, you know, go ahead, Teddy, hit him in the head.
Oh my.
But so it was a neat process. But so that was in my genes as well.
As well.
Didn't
so
think
had,
about it.
You had what, cattle from one
right.
grandpa?
Yeah.
And then
real estate on the other side.
And then, yeah.
So I've got to dabble. I tell Julie often, I wish I could share what I'm doing today and what I've done with my grandpa and my great uncle.
Well, they could be looking down.
Yeah, well, they are.
Watching
there's
you, giving
no
you
doubt
pointers
about
left and right. You feel that like nudge to do something. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well, so they left the farm to go to East St. Louis to process animals because that's what they knew how to do. So they left Whitehall and the farm and actually Franklin north of Scottville to go into the processing business. Went down to Swift to East St. Louis and worked in the packing plant. That's what my ancestors did. So.
And then you also acquired George's.
Yes, we did. Not the business. We acquired the real estate from you, but we did not. We let Andy do the business. So our oldest son Andy runs George's.
Yes. Hey, we haven't mentioned Jonathan. We got just a couple minutes left. Should we mention him or
yeah,
not?
Yeah, I think we ought to mention him too. He's in the real estate business. He's the fourth generation real estate. So I'm proud. Very proud of that as well.
And he used to work at George's.
He was one of my top bartenders
I had.
Yeah.
And now he's into real estate and he's
doing great selling farms
and he
enjoys it and he's good at it. They're both the boys are good at what they do.
Yeah, they
it's
are.
Really good.
They're both good.
So we're glad to be in Jerseyville. We're glad to be residents of Jersey County and looking forward to future things in Jerseyville too. We've got some ideas and expansions with George's and next to George's and
I know
we're gonna be here. We're gonna be here, and we're gonna continue to try to bring business to Jerseyville. That's our goal.
Yes. Well, thanks so much for coming in today. It's been enjoyable and very informative.
Thank you for having me. I don't know how informative it's been, but it's been fun to go down memory lane a bit. Yes.
Well, you take care. I know you got work to do.
I do.
All right. We'll
Thank
see you.
You.